Over the last 20 years, the defense industrial base, and we're talking about Boeing and Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and many more, have been buying both large and small companies to really expand the services and skills they offer. McCain says that has led to limited competition and in many cases on solicitations put out for full and open competition, only one or two bids come back. Listen to this exchange between McCain and Ashton Carter, DOD's Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics.
And if there's any competition, it's between two, and most of them, there is none. Do you agree with me that that's a fundamental problem here?
It is a fundamental constraint on our ability to get competition. That's why we have to work extra hard to make sure we get real competition. So there are several things you can do in that circumstance. We do have competition among the big houses. It's important that we continue to encourage new entrants in the defense field, particularly smaller companies that might grow into bigger companies. They offer vitality and technical health as well as new forms of competition. It's important that we look at creative ways of getting competition. I mentioned the littoral combat ship acquisition strategy as the Navy altered it 6 months ago or so, which as an example of that. That was a situation where we had exactly what you're pointing to, which is two shipbuilders who were showing the signs of suggesting in bids an expectation that they would continue to be in business no matter what. And so we said, well, no, that's not working for us, so we're going to down select. Somebody's going to lose and somebody's going to win. The bids that came in after that announcement were quite different from the bids that came in before.
I think that's really one of the biggest problems here. I'm glad we're going to fixed price incentive contracts, but if there's only one major defense corporation competing, I don't know the answer, but I really do believe that that's a fundamental problem.
Now, Carter says DOD received only one bid on an open procurement in 2009 for about $55 billion worth of goods and services. Carter says usually the only bid came from the incumbent, which is typical. Everyone looks at this contract and says, oh, that's wired, I'm not going to bid on it. And that's why you end up with full and open competition, but only one bid. So this is out of a $400 billion acquisition budget, so about 12 or 15% overall. Now, Carter says through the DOD efficiency initiatives, this issue will be addressed.
To incentivize productivity and innovation in industry, we will strengthen the connection between profit and performance in our business practices. Among other things, we are exploring ways through contracting and financing vehicles and a pilot preferred supplier program to reward contractors who control their costs and demonstrate exemplary performance. We will remove obstacles to effective competition. Simple changes in how we structure evaluations and work with industry have been shown to reduce by 50% the incidence of single bids by incumbents.
So another big issue has been the decision to transfer the duties of the DOD CIO and the Business Transformation Agency. Did the committee address that issue, since they're both slated for really big changes?
Actually, they did address it, but interestingly, it took them quite a while. This was almost a 2.5-hour hearing, and it broke for votes. It took them to almost to the end of the hearing to really address this issue. Now, technology oversight was a major part of Senator McCain's opening statement, and he asked if the Business Transformation Agency, if that goes away, will DOD still be able to do an audit? You know, BTA is charged with standardizing back office functions, including financial management. Chairman Carl Levin asked who will perform the functions and where will they be performed, so there's a lot of interest in it. Now, Deputy Secretary William Lynn offered some clarity when it comes to the DOD CIO functions.
We will retain the Chief Information Officer, and that individual will be a direct report to the Secretary of Defense. So in terms of the level, you will still have that direct report that the NII has now. And we think that with this, the steps that we're taking, we're going to give that CIO greater resources. We're going to pull in the resources from the Joint Staff's J6 Directorate, from DISA, as you indicated, and potentially some functions from other areas to unify the IT oversight in the department. We think we'll end up with a stronger CIO.
Now, there are new news reports that Lynn sent out a memo detailing how the changes to the DOD CIO's office will happen. The Air Force Times reports that the functions of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Network Integration and Information Office would be transferred by March 31st, 2011, to four entities, including the Cyber Command, Carter's office, which is Acquisition Technology and Logistics, and DISA. I'm trying to get a copy of that memo. I've yet to get one. Now, as for the now there are also plenty of questions about DOD CIO nominee Terry Takei. Now, I've been told from sources that because she's no longer going to be an Assistant Secretary of Defense, she no longer needs to be confirmed and could be in place in a matter of weeks. So that's something to watch out for as well.
Terry Takei is the current California CIO and has made a major push to consolidating servers in that state and saved. I mean, California has the
huge budget problems.
So it'd be interesting. I mean, people have been watching that closely.
Exactly. And it'd be interesting to see when she gets in place where she'll sit and what her duties will be. Now, as for the Business Transformation Agency, Lynn says most of those functions will actually move to the Deputy Chief Management Officer. He says there's a lot of overlap already, and DOD believes it could reduce staff and therefore save money by transferring functions of BTA to the Deputy Chief Management Officer. Lynn promises that the oversight layer of the business processes and the standardization that BTA currently does will continue just in this Deputy Chief Management Officer. If you think about it, if you remember, Congress created the BTA a number of years ago, and then they created the Chief Management Officer position and the deputy.
Under recommendations from GAO, by the way.
Right, and many of the things that they're talking about are very similar. I think that's why they see the savings.
I'm just guessing that the potential closure of Joint Forces Command came up somewhere in this hearing. Support from the committee to close Joint Forces Command?
It did come up just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
Several members actually voiced their support, including McCain, while others wanted more information. And then there was Senator Jim Webb from Virginia. Not in favor and less than happy, not just with the decision to close JEFCOM, but how DOD went about it.
Any proposal relating to major changes affecting unified combatant commands should be guided by a clear process, a sound analytical basis, and compliance with applicable laws in a way that everybody can understand it. And this is not a parochial issue. It's an issue that's going to become more important to everyone on this committee as Secretary Gates and others follow through on their stated intention to consolidate other military bases and installations. The present lack of transparency and consultation, particularly with our delegation, stands in stark contrast to how these decisions traditionally are made. We heard today that the Pentagon spent several months reviewing proposals, including holding more than 30 meetings. We did not have access. We didn't have an opportunity to provide input. In fact, on August the 9th, Secretary Lynn, you called me 15 minutes before this decision was publicly announced. That's not the way to conduct a review. That has enormous implications to our defense and also to community interests. I believe in another sport, it's called stiff-arming.
Now, Lynn tried several times during the hearing to explain how DOD made their decision to close JEFCOM. And again, he tried one more time for Senator Webb.
The core issue here is, I think, a disagreement over the recommendation. This was not a business case analysis, as some have described it. This was a military decision. The Secretary consulted with his closest military advisors on the rationale for the Joint Forces Command. And there are four central purposes in the Unified Command Plan having to do with joint manning, joint training, joint doctrine, joint experimentation. On the joint manning area, the conclusion is that it was duplicative. It was not a value-added function, that function was better performed here in the joint staff, and that the Joint Forces Command should be taken out of that. On the joint training, joint doctrine, those are purposes that continue and that we need to maintain our progress in that, but that we have made sufficient progress in that area that we do not no longer need the billion-dollar expense and the continued leadership of a four-star military command in that area. We will then review implementing that decision. That will determine how much of the $1 billion we might be able to save and how much will need to be continued in order to maintain the joint training, joint doctrine centers and facilities, some of which would continue to stay in the Norfolk area.
Well, Webb was less than happy with Lynn's explanation. He said this is indeed not a military issue. It's a civilian issue because President Obama will make the final call.
I really would ask that you be more forthcoming, your department be more forthcoming when we are requesting information so that we can evaluate this. It's not simply whether we disagree. we deserve to make our own evaluation based on information that we can be provided only by you.
Now, in fact, Weber introduced an amendment to the DOD authorization bill that would require the Defense Secretary to provide Congress with information before closing any combatant command, not just GEFCOM. Webb also is renewing his call to President Obama to withhold any action before Congress has full and complete information from DOD about their decision. So obviously, this is not going away anytime soon. This is going to continue to be a hot issue. And, you know, I could see GEFCOM not closing in the end. Now, will it or won't it? It's kind of hard to say, but there's a lot of pressure coming from not only the Virginia delegation, but is this a precursor to what could happen in other places around the country?
Well, and we always talk about how difficult it is to change in government. This can be just exhibit one.
Yes.
In that, you know, you try and change something and folks, you get pushback from every single rung. And that includes the local jurisdictions who says, it's the NIMBY rule in reverse. Don't cut the spending you do in our district. Cut the spending you do in that other district.
Correct. And then, but you need to cut your spending because you spend too much and we can't afford it. Just not in my backyard. Right.
You can't cut Social Security. You can't cut Medicare. You can't cut Medicaid. You can't cut GEFCON. I mean, you've got to go, well, hold on, where's the money come from? And it's a very hard issue.
And it's not going to get any easier as DOD, but also other agencies start making these hard decisions about what must go. Interestingly, this is one hearing. This happened today, obviously, Tuesday. There's another hearing Wednesday before the House Armed Services Committee, and yet another hearing on Thursday before the House Budget Committee. So DOD will be up before Congress three times trying to explain the rationale behind these decisions. So we'll see if things change or if they stay down the same path.